Well, then, our latest installment of our little Reformation study picks up from last week. Luther was supposed to say one word, revoco. That means I recant. But he couldn't bring himself to say it to Cardinal Cajetan. It just couldn't happen. Luther was not about to betray everything that he had been learning from scriptural truth for the sake of making up with the Pope. It wasn't going to happen. And so Cajetan was furious, having been assured that Luther was going to recant. But Luther was steadfast. Cajetan was set to put him into chains. And before that could happen, though, Luther's father confessor and his good friend, Johann Staupitz, ended up doing something pretty drastic. He released Luther from his monastic vows, and he sent him back undercover, not for the last time, interestingly, to Wittenberg. Now, releasing someone from those vows was no small feat. It really meant that Luther could not make it as a monk. That's what releasing someone from their vows would mean. But Staupitz actually did this, not in trying to say, you're a horrible monk. He released him from his vows to try to save his life. It meant that if Luther wasn't a monk, the Pope had no more ecclesiastical, that means church authority over him. It meant that the Pope couldn't tell him to obey anything except by threat. It would be like if President Harrison, the president of our synod, our denomination, came in here today and told you that you have to learn Greek and Hebrew, otherwise you will be punished. Doesn't make sense, does it? However, although Luther's friends got him back to Wittenberg, and Luther didn't have to be afraid of the Pope theologically, he was still under threat of force from him. People still wanted to do his bidding. And so discovering that Luther had returned to Wittenberg, the Pope and his envoys wrote and demanded that Luther be turned over so that he could be punished and killed. Now thankfully, Luther had an elector, Frederick the Wise. An elector is kind of like a combination between a prince, a governor, and a member of the Electoral College. That's really what they are. They govern a certain territory, and they are responsible for, when there is a vacancy in the role of the emperor, to elect a new emperor into that position. We'll talk a little bit more about that actually next week. As it happens, Frederick the Wise ended up electing a new emperor the next year in 1519. That doesn't happen very often. Now, once the emperor is elected, he's set in that role for life. Can't really get rid of him easily anyway. But being there, he knows that he's supposed to owe something to those electors. And so Frederick the Wise, earning that moniker, was kind of a force to be reckoned with. He was a man of great faith. He was a man of great piety. In fact, he collected relics from the saints. You guys know what relics are. They're these little trophies from the saints. They might be finger bones or toes or this is kind of weird, but there was even one relic that Frederick had that was supposed to be the milk from Mary, the mother of Jesus. And he would collect these things, and if you prayed by them or prayed to them or prayed through them, you were supposed to get more time off of purgatory, more grace. In 1518, they did an inventory of Frederick's relic collection, and he had over 17,000 different relics. I think the biggest one for him was the Mary milk, but the second biggest was a twig from the burning bush. Now, you guys know, this is, there's no verification. It's not like you get a little, note that says, oh, yes, this is from me kind of thing. It's whatever people want to make of it. It's true. Luther, I think, and I'm paraphrasing, once said that if you collected all the finger bones of John the Baptist, he'd have 12 hands. So you just never really quite know. But Frederick did want to serve the church. In 1502, he had founded that university in Wittenberg that Luther was teaching at, and he wanted the best and the brightest there. And so when he got the chance to get Luther, he jumped at it. Ever since Luther's arrival, that he had been pleased with Luther, because Luther was kind of a star attraction, one of the first real celebrities, if you will. And Luther brought a lot of people and a lot of money to the university. But, I don't know, Frederick, as he looked at Luther, he'd certainly protect him academically if any charges came. But now he was about to step up in a way that went beyond academics, and he was going to stand in the way between Luther and the Pope. He was going to defend Luther. When Frederick was demanded that he hand Luther over, he took a step against a Pope that no politician had ever done. And thankfully, more politicians would follow in his footsteps. We'll hit more of that next week. Let's pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank and praise you for feeding us the life-giving body and blood of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Send your Holy Spirit that having with our mouths received the Holy Sacrament, we may by faith obtain and eternally enjoy your divine grace, the forgiveness of sins, unity with Christ, and life eternal. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in his peace.